The European Union opens a new case against China at the World Trade Organization. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The EU today has accused Beijing of illegal trade practices against one of its smallest member states. It says it has evidence China is deliberately blocking imports and components from Lithuania amid a diplomatic row over Taiwan. It all started when the Baltic nation allowed Taiwan to open a de facto embassy there, angering Beijing, which claims Taiwan as its territory. The BBC's Jessica Parker explains China's response to these allegations.
China has denied systematically blocking Lithuanian imports. Back in December, there were reports that Lithuanian products were having problems getting through. And the EU, over the last month or so, has been building up evidence, which it now says it has, that there is a systematic blockage going on, not just affecting Lithuanian companies, but also wider EU goods that have Lithuanian components. But of course, there has been a little bit of frustration here when you talk to people privately in the EU about how this row began. Lithuania allowing the establishment of an embassy bearing the name Taiwan, a great offence to China. But I asked the European Commissioner Val Dombrovskis whether he would like to see Lithuania back down on the matter.
We were assessing clearly also steps taken by Lithuania. It's worth noting that EU is respecting one China policy, and our assessment is that steps taken by Lithuania do not step out of the one China policy.
Now, Jessica, this has shaken some of Lithuania's own trading partners within Europe because now their goods are at risk of being blocked by China from entering the country.
Yeah, so I think that is why it's kind of become of wider concern. I think that's another reason why it's taken it to the World Trade Organization. But it is worth saying these disputes do have a reputation of getting bogged down for really a rather long time. I think politically for the EU, it probably had to be seen to be doing something, and it didn't actually have that many options.
The BBC's Jessica Parker for us in Brussels. Thanks for your time this morning.
Pleasure.
To Myanmar now, where one of Australia's biggest oil and gas companies has ended operations after a deteriorating human rights situation. It comes about a week after French and American firms Total and Chevron pulled out of the country. The BBC's Phil Mercer has more on that from Sydney.
Woodside had suspended its operations in Myanmar last year, but is now completely pulling out, a move that will cost it millions of dollars in lost profits. The company has been under intense pressure over involvement in a major deep water gas development in Myanmar. But in making this announcement, Woodside condemns the human rights violations since the army seized power. Campaigners hope Woodside's decision will encourage other Australian mining, oil and gas companies to give up their exploration licenses and stop financing what they call the Myanmar military's regime of terror. However, human rights groups are calling for tougher sanctions from the governments of Australia and the United States, as well as from the European Union. In Sydney, I'm the BBC's Phil Mercer for Marketplace.
Much attention this week has been on when the Fed will begin raising interest rates. Jay Powell didn't do much to soothe volatile markets yesterday. As we check the numbers now, a late sell-off on Wall Street over the specter of a March rate rise spilled over into Asian markets today. Benchmarks there ended their session down in the 2 to 3% range. But things are looking up this side of the world. European stocks and U.S. stock futures are little changed at this hour. On the topic of inflation, global food prices are at the highest level in a decade. And while they haven't risen in Asia as dramatically as in the rest of the world, the number of people seeking help affording basic goods has grown. The BBC's Mariko Oi has more on that from Singapore.
In Southeast Asia, it doesn't get much more staple than chicken rice, and it's usually one of the most affordable dishes available. Stall owner Daniel Tan stands near the counter. He's always charged just over $2 for a small plate, but since the pandemic began, everything started to cost a lot more. He says just the price of chicken alone has risen by 50% from the start of 2020, while vegetables have more than doubled. So he had no choice but to raise the price of his dish.
A shock of 250%, $1,000 electrical bill for a chicken rice store, really not sustainable. If I go on any further, either my staff are not paid or I have to close down some stores.
Of course, Singapore imports most of its food supplies and so feels global price trends more. According to the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, food prices rose 28% worldwide in 2021.
The last time food prices were this high was in 2011, when policymakers were actually warning of a global food crisis.
That's Dr. Abdullah Beard of the Asian Development Bank. But compared to the inflation we see in the US or Europe, food price increases in Asia have been somewhat muted, with businesses and sometimes the government absorbing higher costs. A good rice harvest last year also helped push prices down.
Maize was up 44% last year. Wheat was up by 31%. But rice was actually down 4% in 2021. And rice being the main staple in many Asian economies, that's contributing to food price inflation being lower in Asia.
Oh, okay. So you give them the exact number.
Yeah, correct.
Oh.
Even then, for distributor Nicole the price elevation she's experienced has been among the most dramatic in 20 years. She also runs a food bank program where she's seeing a whole new segment of society asking for help with daily necessities.
Young families, maybe working on a part-time job or gig economy, when with COVID hit, when all the part-time work kind of dried up, these were the families that kind of got impacted as well.
What's certain is that the number of families seeking help across Asia has risen sharply. Globally, food prices are expected to remain high. And many on the ground are wondering, will this be temporary or will the situation linger as the pandemic has? In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Marie Kooi for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.